Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin and go to Caracas, Venezuela, for an update on the return of President Hugo Chavez from Cuba, where he underwent a fourth round of cancer surgery. Virginia Lopez, who covers Venezuela and Latin America for the UK Guardian and Sky Television, joins us to discuss the lack of details about the health of Venezuela's president, who was supposed to be inaugurated last January, and the lack of press access to Chavez's secret arrival, except for his personal tweets to his 4 million Twitter followers. Then we will speak with Nada Hashimi, who is the director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Denver. We will discuss what can be interpreted from the mudslinging ahead of Iran's June elections coming out of the rival camps of the outgoing president and the speaker of Iran's parliament. Rhetoric so heated that it forced the supreme leader to publicly rebuke President Ahmadinejad and Speaker Ali Larijani. Then finally, we'll examine the latest UN report on Syria that finds the war that has cost 70,000 lives so far is becoming increasingly sectarian, prompting Carla Del Ponte, the UN human rights investigator, to tell the UN Security Council it is time to refer the issue of war crimes to the International Criminal Court. Joshua Landis, who writes the daily newsletter and blog on Syria, Syria Comment, joins us to discuss the war within the war between the Sunni extremist al-Nusra militia and the extremist Shiite militia Hezbollah. And joining us now from Venezuela is Virginia Lopez, who's a Caracas-based journalist who covers Latin America and Venezuela for The Guardian of the United Kingdom and Sky Television. Welcome to Background Briefing, Virginia Lopez.
And how are you?
Very well, thanks. And President Hugo Chavez apparently arrived back in Venezuela from Cuba, where he has been undergoing his fourth round of surgery for cancer. He arrived at 2:30 in the morning and was taken directly to a military hospital in Caracas. And this is in contrast to his previous trips to Cuba and returns, which were televised, etc. This is done under secrecy. So what do you know about his condition?
Well, we don't know too much, or at least not from official sources. The comments here have ranged from, you know, he's come home to die, or he's actually doing much better than we expected. There were comments from a governor who's a Chavista supporter or a Chavista saying that actually Chavez had walked into the military hospital. But again, nothing can be proven because there was no, like you said, no footage or no photographic record of his arrival or his entry into the hospital.
And apparently all that is being released by the government are, four tweets from Hugo Chavez's Twitter account that has 4 million followers. It's been dormant for a number of months. And then, of course, the vice president went on early morning television with a phone call, being very ebullient, saying that Chavez is an example of permanent battle. And here we have him in Caracas, in our Caracas, in our Venezuela. Here he is, our comandante. It's pretty hard for somebody that follows American politics to get a handle on that kind of worship of a leader. We're pretty cynical about our leaders here. I take it that there's a lot of love and affection for this leader.
Certainly. And I think that, you know, we will look at, in hindsight at this period as one that was definitely characterized by a cult of personality, though with Chavez. He's an incredibly charismatic leader. And certainly his supporters, you know, worship him. These last 2 months of absence have been, you know, filled with all sorts of almost religious worship towards Chavez and a huge show of not only faith that he would recover, but also sort of undying devotion towards his persona. I think, you know, he's certainly sort of almost considered at the sort of like semi-god level by many Venezuelans here. But of course, it's such a polarized society that sort of certainly the other half or the opposition, many in the opposition see him with the same sort of cynicism that many Americans feel towards their leaders.
Well, apparently the VTV, the government television station, which is essentially a propaganda arm of the government, the information minister, Ernesto Villegas, led a celebration, bringing out all of the TV station staff onto the set chanting, "He returned, he returned, he returned." Did you see that?
I didn't see it, but I read about it. Yes, it was sort of, yeah, it was quite weird. It was almost reminiscent of Tom Cruise jumping on a chair when he was on TV.
So, well, I got to get that image out of my head. Again, I'm speaking with Virginia Lopez, who's in Venezuela. She's a Caracas-based journalist who covers Latin America and Venezuela for The Guardian, the UK Guardian, and Sky Television. So tell us about this protest that's taking place. It's in the last few days where 21 students have chained themselves together in protest in front of the Cuban embassy in Caracas. Well, what are they protesting? It's obvious that they're making a point by going to the Cuban embassy.
Well, they've been protesting that President Chavez has been, you know, undergoing surgery or prolonged cancer treatment in Havana, and certainly protesting the fact that the information that we've received has been at best vague. The reports have been, I would say, frequent, but not necessarily, offering too much clarification with regards to things like, you know, whether Chavez will be fit to govern or not. And we've seen him miss his big inauguration day on January the 10th with not too much of an explanation given as to, you know, why he was missing it, other than, of course, that he's, you know, gravely ill, but not... no plan for the future or no expected date of return until, of course, today, which came as a huge surprise to everyone. But, you know, certainly it comes as a surprise that there seems to be no plan for the future, or not one that's been articulated for most of the people here.
Well, apparently, my understanding is that given that the Supreme Court ruled that President Chavez could delay his inauguration indefinitely, the country is essentially being run by the vice president, Maduro, but the opposition are arguing that Cabello, the National Assembly president, should be running the country. So what's going on with that battle, succession, if you will, before the corpse is cold?
The opposition has certainly tried to frame it as a battle within the Chavismo, and they've hinted at the fact that there's actually sort of a power struggle within Chavismo. I don't know that there is or there isn't, but the Chavismo has made a huge effort to show a public image of complete unity. And there's actually, you know, abundant footage of Maduro and Cabello hugging in public and, you know, appearing as a united front. So again, you know, it's hard to say whether there's an internal dispute within Chavismo or who exactly is running the country in light of Chavez's absence. There's also huge criticism from the opposition that most of the decisions seem to be made in Cuba and under the strict guidance of the Castro brothers. So yes, on one hand, a huge level of indignation from the opposition, but on the other hand, I would say almost a sense of apathy, like life goes on and this hasn't really changed the lives of Venezuelans in one way or the other, or certainly not as much as sort of the daily battle to find food or you know, the effects of a devaluation a couple of days ago.
Now, that was a pretty substantial devaluation, wasn't it?
It was, it was close to 40%. Hmm. It went from 4.30 to 6.30.
It did to the dollar?
Yes. 4 bolivares 30 cents to 6 bolivares 30 cents to the dollar, yes. And this is, of course, the official exchange rate, but because of all of the strict currency controls, unfortunately, there's this whole black market that has appeared with huge amounts of all sorts of discrepancies and corruption. It's been also 10 years of currency controls with all of the distortions that usually come along with these types of currency controls.
Well, Virginia Lopez, again, a Caracas-based journalist who covers Latin America and Venezuela for the UK Guardian and Sky Television. You mentioned the puzzlement over the role of, or the objection to the role, the considerable role of the Castro brothers in Venezuelan affairs. In general, as an outsider, I find it kind of incomprehensible that Venezuela, which is a very wealthy, oil-rich country with a lot of resources South America, is in many ways, it appears to be politically subjugated voluntarily to this tiny little island failed state of Cuba that, if it weren't for Hugo Chavez giving Castro oil, I think the Cuban economy would have totally collapsed. So I'm just curious of the, as the disproportionality of this, that the idea that the leader of a relatively powerful Latin American country would, you know, essentially appear to be taking his orders from the brothers of this failed state that's being kept alive by Venezuelan oil.
Oh, yes. I mean, it's hard to comprehend for everyone, I think. You know, there's been comments here that, especially some, you know, for a presidential period that has characterized itself for, you know, talking constantly of sovereignty, that, you know, all of a sudden, like you said, it feels like Venezuela's decisions are so, you know, subjugated by the Castro brothers' will. You know, it does feel ironically like we're almost, you know, like Cuba's Puerto Rico, in a sense. I don't think I have an explanation. If I go by what President Chavez himself has said, it seems that it's the result of him feeling that Fidel Castro is very much a father figure to him, and that for some reason the Venezuelan process of the last 14 years is modeling itself after the Cuban Revolution. But of course, you know, it really has nothing to do with it. And like you said, Venezuela is an oil-producing country. It sells most of its oil to the U.S., So yes, no, the contradictions abound, and it's very hard to get your head around this strange father, you know, son relationship that isn't.
So, as a member of the Venezuelan press, what are you and your colleagues going to do in the next few days to try and find out about the real state of the health of your president? And in general, you know, whether there's going to be a succession, who's in charge, et cetera. I mean, these are pretty fundamental questions.
I'm not too sure. I assume some of us will try and sneak into the military hospital and try and get, you know, comments from nurses and that kind of thing that we journalists tend to do at times. And I guess we'll just wait for official announcements as well. Like I said, you know, the information has been at best vague, and so, you know, but it's what we've got to go with. This whole illness has been treated with the utmost secrecy in Cuba. It was, you know, it was quite easy to keep the secretiveness of the whole illness. I'm not sure if here in Venezuela we've changed so much in the last 14 years that the secret will be kept. We're not a society that is known for keeping secrets. So I'm not sure exactly if the story's going to get any better, or if for some strange reason or unpredictable reason, it will go on record and say what the plan for the next couple of months are. If Chavez were to be sworn into office and then resign, the Constitution calls for a snap election within 30 days. This is one of the scenarios that the experts have contemplated that could happen. But like I said, it's also uncertain that we could easily see a recovered Chavez assume the presidency for his fourth presidential term and go on to govern for a couple of months or even years. Villegas, on the last sort of official report on Chavez's health on the 15th, did say that his sort of almost exact words were that the base illness was continued to be treated in an energetic manner. And so this base illness, which is cancer from what we know, seems to continue being a cause for concern. But again, you know, I don't know what the treatment has been. We don't know exactly what type of cancer President Chavez is being affected by. So I don't have a clear answer for that.
Just in closing, Virginia Lopez, if indeed it is terminal and he's come home to die, I imagine that if and when that happens, it will be an extraordinary traumatic moment for the country, because you were talking earlier about the kind of worship so many people have for Hugo Chavez. Probably that will carry his legacy on for some time, won't it?
Oh, yes, yes. I think it's pretty safe to say that it'll be definitely a spectacular event in Venezuelan history. You know, and again, people here have predicted that we'll enter into a sort of like a post-Perón era, where, you know, even after Perón, Peronismo still exists. And of course, you know, that Chavez, like Juan Perón in Argentina, will also be buried in this sort of spectacular public, you know, event that will last for days, and that will be, you know, an outpour of emotion. But, you know, Chavez is known for defying all predictions. So again, I don't know. But yes, I think it's safe to say that his legacy will probably live on for a while. I don't know how it will be evaluated in the long run, but certainly now there's a huge, you know, emotional bond that he's very successfully built amongst, you know, a majority of Venezuelans.
Well, of course, as we've discussed before in previous interviews, Virginia Lopez, that I'd heard from some, you know, intelligence sources that he definitely had terminal cancer, and the secrecy only reinforces that idea. Surely, I mean, I don't understand the reason for the secrecy. If, as we all know, he has cancer and he's had four operations, and gone to Cuba for treatment. That if they were leveling about it and saying exactly what was going on and that he was going to get over it, as some people do, although this is apparently metastasized and gone into his pelvis, starting out as prostate cancer, the secrecy more or less reinforces the idea that he's not going to survive, and they're just delaying the inevitable.
Yeah, it could be seen that way. Though somebody was telling me that at some point during, you know, the 50 plus years of Fidel Castro in power in Cuba, at some point he disappeared because allegedly, you know, he was too suffering from cancer. So again, I actually have tried to find this, but I haven't been able to. So I'm not sure that this story that I was told is actually true. But this. There is a sort of a level of mastery through mystery to this whole style of governance. So I don't know. I mean, my tendency is to think that the government hasn't lied about the severity of Chavez's illness, but the truth is that a lot of it has been kept secret, or, like I said, you know, sufficiently vague that it has. The whole world speculating. This is a news that has captivated the whole world. It's quite incredible. But yeah, no, I mean, I hate to say this, but I so often answer these questions by saying I don't know, which is so strange.
Well, but that's the that's because your government's not telling you anything. So not surprising, but. Well, Virginia Lopez, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Virginia Lopez, who's in Venezuela. She's a Caracas-based journalist who covers Latin America and Venezuela for The Guardian of the United Kingdom and Sky Television. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about the mudslinging going on in Iran ahead of the June elections. Dame algo tierno.